You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, Meredith, dear, promise me you won't go to too much trouble.
Oh, pish-posh, there's no such thing.
I foolishly agreed to throw Ruth a baby shower, but she's so particular. I suggested we do a tiki theme, but she says she can't drink a Mai Tai while pregnant. Now, I don't know about other mothers, but I simply can't drink a Mai Tai while I'm pregnant. I only drink martinis. It's better for the baby.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, March 10th. We're here back in the Classic Factory. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy back in a Bulls hat, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey,
yo.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis. Lately, and last, certainly not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second. Like the video. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Comment away, both in the stream team and later in the comment section if you're watching a little bit later in the day. And share the show. That's important. Help us get those subs up. Our next goal is 100,000. And don't you think I forgot about you singing Slim Dusty? Dusty
what
Slim.
What into Shazam?
No. Well, no. I thought we had a thing, like, once we hit 50K, you were going to sing, like, a weird, I don't know, Aussie country song.
Yeah. We need Matt to come and play the guitar. Well, next time Matt's here. next time Matt's here, we'll do it. How about that?
Okay, great. Yeah. We're off to an awesome start. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. That's INC. You can follow us on all the social media channels there on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. Really appreciate that. Also, this is fun. Survivor returned last night. Survivor 42. Episode 1, 2-hour premiere. So we will be breaking it down in detail a little bit later today, around 1:30 p.m. Eastern, over on our No Buffs YouTube feed. And we'll have our own separate podcast feed for that on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your Survivor content. Search for No Buffs as we break down episode 1. Showing you the cast there, Lee. I know. I assume you didn't watch last.
Nah, I've done my one season of Survivor.
That's all you need is one.
Next pandemic, I'm back in.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there's a link in the stream team right now if you want to subscribe to No Buffs. That's what happened with my computer playing here. We had a little bit of a frazzled start. We didn't even remember if we had dapped up each other before the show finally got going. So you didn't give your classic cell phone reminder.
I did
computer it. Reminder, and I got burned here, but you know, it was for a good cause. Subscriptions.
It's so funny though. Every other day I say it. You know, nobody cares. Everyone's like, oh, I've already done it. No one listens to me. I say it every day. No one cares, but I didn't say it today, right? And that's what happens. All right, let's get into a bunch of the games from last night. How many games were on last night?
13 or something?
There's too many.
Yeah.
Survivor? Does Survivor count?
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah. When you add that game to the Wednesday schedule, there was a lot of television being watched, at least in my household, and I'm sure you guys as well. But let's get into some of the key games. I got some questions from these. So the first one is, we had the Suns dropping the Heat. They became the first team to clinch a playoff spot. Devin Booker returned. That was nice for Phoenix. I thought this was a really dominant win here in Miami. But, Lee, my question just with the Suns here, clinching, throw the X up there on the end of Phoenix. What's impressed you most about Phoenix this year?
Honestly, like, for a team to have not made the playoffs for a decade and then be two wins away from winning a championship last season, that almost never happens. So was that almost a mirage coming into this season? And started off badly, 1-3. They had some off-court stuff, and I was like, you know, was Chris Paul last year, was he going to be able to sort of get back to that level? You know, how are they going to basically handle expectations? And they've ticked all the boxes. There's a real Spursy-like feel, like a Spurry blur feeling to this team right now.
Nice.
Because they have answered every single challenge. You know, they've dealt with all that off-court stuff. And then you look at just how this team is right now. JaVale McGee, you know, a guy who's bounced around. He's picked up his championships, but he's come in and been really, really good. they picked up Bismack Biyombo. He's given them some really good minutes. Campaign was another guy kind of out of league. He came back in. They signed him to a contract. Landry Shamet, another guy who'd been on four teams in five seasons. He's one of those players, like, how does he keep getting traded? He seems like a good player.
Yeah.
He's got a four-year contract there. And so basically anyone who comes in produces for them. You know, when they're deep and when they're well coached. I mean, Monty Williams is from the Spurs sort of system there, so he's got that, maybe that education there. And now with Chris Paul out, they start off a little bit of a bumpy start there, but now they go and get probably their most impressive win in Miami. Now, no Jimmy Butler, but in that third quarter, they turned it up. They sort of did to Miami what Miami does to a lot of teams.
Defensively,
really shut them down and went down and scored the other end. Devin Booker, fantastic. Nearly a triple-double there last night. But overall, this team has basically, I mean, it still seems to be there a little bit underrated. And I don't know where they are in the championship odds right now. But how they're not second favorite at worst is incredible. They are very well coached. You're seeing guys like Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges having, you know, career seasons right now when they're playing. And everything about the Suns that they do is very convincing. The defensive end is great. Offensively, they've got so many options. And DeAndre Ayton, who's been, you know, he's been a little bit up and down. He's still got some growth there. But they've got a legit big man out there who can score and dominate on both ends. So this is incredibly impressive what Phoenix has done. Because as I say, for 10 years, bit of a joke, you know, like bit of a crazy franchise there.
Yeah.
We saw them down in the bubble and they just missed out. And we thought, yeah, it's the bubble. Who knows? Last season, shortened season. There is no asterisk on that season. But you can see how people can maybe say, well, let's see them do it in a real season, back to real conditions. And they're doing it all right now.
Yeah, 53-13. Was this their most impressive win to date last night in Miami?
I don't know. I don't know, looking at their 53 wins, but I know that it just it feels like they're not wavering whatsoever. I think, yes, the consistency is amazing. The team is the most impressive part. But I think another impressive part is just the flipping of the narrative of Chris Paul. It wasn't that long ago where he was anti-clutch. You know, sometimes these labels are ingrained in guys. And going back to his Clippers days, now he is, after this season, he is one of the handful of players that you'd want the ball in their hands in the last minute. And again, he was anti-clutch, especially with the internet the way it is. For that narrative to have flipped, I think is ridiculously great. I mean, when people watch the Suns, it's, you don't want the ball in anyone else's hands in the last minute. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but the fact is, he has joined a very, very special bunch at the top, and I don't see why they should be one of the top two favorites. They should be the favorite. As far as going into the playoffs 5 weeks from now.
Because they went to the finals last year. That's the thing. If this was like, oh my God, they've been bad for a decade, and it's like, wow, can they really go all the way to the finals? Just, you know, not making the playoffs a year prior? Then sure. Then you're like, okay, maybe they're not a championship favorite. But they did. You already said it. They were up two in the finals. They should easily be the favorites here. I don't see how they couldn't be, you know, unless suddenly we find out that Chris Paul isn't returning at all. And I'm not even convinced then that they shouldn't still be the favorites.
Well, spoiler alert, they're the favorites now.
That's good.
Yeah, at least
took a while to get there.
The BetMGM Arizona site has the favorites. I don't know if it changes from location to location, but they are the favorites now because they've got 9 more wins than anybody else in the league. That's crazy. That's the most impressive thing to me, is that they're so much better than every other team in the league, because there's several championship contenders out there, but the Suns have been the best, and they've done it with basically all of their stars missing a nice chunk of time during the season. By the time the season's over, all of their starters, except for Mikal Bridges, will have missed at least 10 games, and they've taken zero steps back. Like Leah's saying, they get great performances from a Biyombo. Kaminsky had good games when he was still playing. Campaign has really seized his opportunity with Chris Paul going down. They're just super professional, and that is Chris Paul, being a professional guy and just having the attention to detail each and every single night. It's been a little bit rocky sometimes with Chris Paul going down. They haven't had necessarily the exact same fourth quarter execution. Didn't need it in this one because they just completely blew out the Heat, which is impressive. The Heat have been playing really, really well lately. To see what the Suns are doing without the guy who they're taking all their cues from, I think is really, really, really great.
Yeah, and you got to be beating them into the fourth quarter, because they're 40-0 when leading after three quarters. They're an abysmal 500 if they're trailing after three quarters. But yeah, they are just so solid. Chris Paul leading the way he's flipped the narrative on himself, you know, in his mid-30s is pretty cool for us old guys. And I will confirm, across the BetMGM sites, the Suns are the favorite. I'm in Jersey right now, and they are the absolute favorite. So at least in two states. I shouldn't say across all states. But I will say as well, I think the simplicity of a Twitter account adding an X to a name is pretty cool. I like it. I like the Suns just adding X to their name, because that means that they have solidified a playoff position for the first time, for the first team this season. I think that's cool. I like the simplicity of a Twitter account. It's still hanging on. It's still cool.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, they're cool. A dominant team, like we saw, especially defensively. Second overall defensive rating, fourth overall offensive rating, best net rating in the league. Trey said, what are they, 9 games clear of the next best team in the league? That's amazing. That's a hell of a gap when we still have, 15 games to go to be that much up.
Yeah, well, what are they, 53 and 13, yeah. So they only won 51 games last year in a shortened season, they're already up there. But, this is great now. Again, with Chris Paul, it's about saving his legs as well for the playoffs. So in some ways, minor blessing in disguise that he gets some good rest. You probably don't want him out for 6 weeks before the playoffs, but 3 or 4 weeks is probably not bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about that when he did get injured. We said, do it now.
Yeah.
Chris Paul always gets injured in the playoffs. Do it prior to the playoffs, and hopefully they can string together a couple more or another deep postseason run here. And you're helped out when, McGee's grabbing a million offensive rebounds, Mikal Bridges' awesome game. Like, everybody, Campaign, he didn't have a monster game last night, but we talked about how he's filled in admirably. Just a juggernaut of a team. They get it done on both ends, and they just go about their business. And I love that they do have the sour taste still left in their mouth of losing last year. I love that.
Yeah. Well, remember Booker, as he was walking off the court, he was like, damn. He wanted to sort of have one last look. Because, 2 games up. I mean, Tass, you probably got the stats there. 83% of the time, the team's going to win the championship. I'm sure they do. And, look just how close it was. Remember, it was that one play, that big sort of block there from Giannis that could have swung the game back in Phoenix away. So they were so close, but they didn't, they've used that as fire rather than just, feeling sorry for themselves.
Yeah, and they used it last night. They said the Heat beat them earlier in the season. So, Booker said, we're doing this. And, I'm sure that's going to carry over into the playoffs. And hopefully they'll see, everybody's best in the Western Conference, because that was the knock against the Suns last year.
Right.
Each and every series, the Lakers had somebody injured. The Clippers obviously had somebody injured, and on down the line. But, they've been ridiculously solid. Just too solid. Finally they are number one in terms of the odds. Took a long time.
You brought up Giannis. Let's get to what I'm calling some MVP-type shit. All right? Giannis. And the Bucks, they outlasted the Hawks for their sixth straight victory. We had Jokic dominating the Kings as the Nuggets win after they blew a big lead. I think Ziller pointed out in his newsletter, have the Nuggets and Kings played 200 times since the All-Star break? It feels like they're playing every second night. And then, got Giannis, you got the Joker. Tatum dominates as the Celtics fend off the Hornets there, and he is on a tear right now. So I really guess the question is here, Trey, from those three games, has Tatum joined Giannis and Joker and Embiid and whoever else at the table? Has he pulled up a chair?
It's getting crowded in here.
It's getting real crowded.
Because Jason Tatum absolutely gets a seat. He's the guy who had early dinner plans already made, but he still wants to stop by, have a drink, have a piece of coconut cream pie, and just vibe out with his buddies. The rotating 4 and 5 spots, they have been hot this season.
Oh my god, yeah.
Curry and KD were there, though honestly they were kind of more on the 1-2 side of things. DeRozan had a chance, Jimmy Butler made an appearance, Chris Paul and Devin Booker came by together, not enough room for him. Ja's been there, Luka recently showed up, and now Jason Tatum. He's got to take a seat because he is on a heater since the All-Star break. 30, 26, 24, 33, 37, 54, and 44 last night on 16 of 24 shooting and a very nice 6 of 9 from 3. Second back-to-back 40-point game stretch of Tatum's career. He hit 15 field goals in that 54-point game as well. So 15 field goals in consecutive games for the first time in his career. He's even wowing himself with some of the shots he makes. You're like, whoa, that was a sick step back I had to ice the game here against the Hornets. The most important thing, though, Celtics are 6-1 in those games that Tatum's been on fire. It's his fifth 40-point game of the season, which is sixth in the league. So I kind of think if you're putting Luka Doncic in the mix, you got to put Tatum in the mix as well, because season long, their stats are pretty similar. 28-9-9 for Luka, 27-8-4 for Tatum on similar percentages. They're both making late runs for that fourth spot. I've never been more excited to see who comes in fourth in the MVP voting right now. But you're not getting higher than fourth, unfortunately, for any of these new jacks sitting down at the table. The big names keep staying there. Jokic, 38-18-7. That's basically what he's averaging for the week. And Giannis just went out and put up 43-12-5. Scored 82 points in a 24-hour span after 38 in a victory at OKC earlier this week. Somehow he's third in this race. Like, he doesn't feel like he can even get up to number one or two at this point, despite the fact you can make the case that he's the best player in the league and that he's had a better season than Joel Embiid, who's probably going to win it at this point. So what a race. More awesome stuff last night. It's just ridiculous. Like, I turned on the Nuggets game after Survivor. Just, I'm like, I want to see what's going on here. I want to see what Jokic's line is. It was the middle of the second quarter and he was at 17-8-4. I just started laughing. I'm like, okay, this is good stuff. So, Tatum, take a seat, but you're not getting too far in here.
Wow. Mm. Okay, so Tatum is sitting down, though. So
take a seat, buddy.
So if the three bigs, the international bigs, they've been there basically all year long, Embiid, Giannis, Jokic, in whatever order you want to put them, you've got Tatum with the fourth seat. That means there's one more fifth seat. So who's
Luka.
Luka. So, wow. Yeah. Ja not there. DeRozan not there. I mean, it's tough. It's tough, but it's a small table.
Chris Paul's like, I've just got to go out and park the car. Don't save my seat. And Jason Tatum's like, okay, sure.
Let's keep it warm.
That's the thing. I mean, Chris Paul was in that conversation, but you miss some time and you sort of fall away. It is incredible right now just how many guys. Because Tatum, I agree with Trey that he's not going to get into that top three.
No, of course.
But they are only two games back of the Milwaukee Bucks in second. It's not out of the realm of possibility that the Celtics do climb up there to number two. It could happen. Sure. I mean, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But if they get up there, then Tatum might be just sort of saying to one of those guys, just like, get over a little bit more. I'm here. Who knows? But the confidence he has got right now, you mentioned the step backs. He's blowing kisses to the crowd there in Charlotte. It's awesome when a guy's just in this groove like this where, you know, this is not like it was on Sunday where he was just sort of lining guys up and saying, I'm just going to take you down. Then the Hornets aren't that good defensively. But Tatum is just like, there's really nothing anyone could do to stop me. I've got the threes. I'm getting inside if I want it. Anyone who's a tiny bit undersized has got virtually no chance against him. So this is an incredible run, incredible surge here from the Celtics.
Yeah, I would say one name that wasn't included there was Steph Curry. And I know he's overlooked because he was hot to start. As Trey said, he was leader of the clubhouse for a long time. His numbers are better than Tatum's, even though Tatum scores a little bit more. Tatum had a bad start to the season. You know, he's shooting 34% from three in that Luka range of, you know, below average throughout the league. And Curry's numbers are still better, and his record, team's record, is better. I think we're forgetting about Steph because he was, you know, he was, you know, part of the leader at the beginning, and now we're just okay. We're done with that.
But then, I mean, what the problem with Steph though, or including him still, is Draymond goes out, and then they're like a 500 team. So you saw the importance of Draymond.
But they're still way better than the Celtics.
Yeah,
record wise,
fair, fair. They started incredible. They're like what, 30-9 or something like that at one point. But he's not there to me, and I don't even think Tatum is, as crazy as that sounds, because I think Ja Morant is still deserving with the Grizzlies record at what it is. And then I guess then you are flipping a coin between Luka, Tatum, and even a DeRozan who's trying to hold on. And it comes down a little bit to the team's records when they're that close. And maybe you're right. Maybe the Celtics jump all these teams that have the best record in the Eastern Conference. It's sound, you know, probably not going to catch the Heat, but it's maybe.
Probably not, but it's only four games.
I know. Yeah.
You know, that's not huge. I mean, that win for the Bulls last night against the Pistons is huge in the standings. And, it, you know, they had to work for that as well.
Oh, so, yeah. Pistons are hot, baby.
Oh, yes, they are. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're playing well at the wrong time.
They took a loss last night. Bulls had to play one quarter. That's the charitable way of looking at it.
Yeah.
That's right. But I think it was Bobby Marks, though, was tweeted last night, like, the Pistons last night. Nine games or something like that. You know, they won a lot of them. Even their losses were pretty close. Yeah. Some good teams. Maybe the basketball gods will bless them in the draft lottery. Oh, yeah. Look how hard these guys were playing here. Let's give them the number
one pick.
Imagine
they get the number one pick 2 years in a row. That'd be huge when they didn't have it for like 50 years.
Cade and Chet. Is that where they would go? CNC Music Factory in Chicago. Detroit.
Chicago. Yeah, send them there. I was saying, like, don't they measure engines by CCs a lot? At least on a motorcycle. Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you're talking more HPs.
Mm. Horsepower. Nice.
But still, CNC, Cade, Chet, CCs, there's something to work with there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't have the number one pick and haven't drafted him yet, but we're getting in early.
Yeah, maybe. We're talking it into existence. Well, let's go to another team that could have a number one pick and had a good victory last night. Jalen Green, 32, as the Rockets downed the Lakers in overtime. 139 to 130. What'd they end up with in overtime? 19 points or something?
Yeah, they got three taken back off.
Oh, okay.
Them,
it was a lot, and I was watching it going, oh, my God.
No. Oh, yeah.
To ask the question, look, good win from the Rockets. Jalen Green's playing really nice. Is this rock bottom for the Lakers, or can they go lower?
Oh, they can go lower, I think. When you said they have one of these teams has a number one pick, I thought you were talking about the Lakers. I mean, they could. Things are abysmal. Things are very bad. They just have no identity whatsoever. I mean, it's really just rolling out the ball there. Jalen Green, who looks very, very good. Solid night. 22 points in this one. 32. I'm sorry. Yeah, 13 awesome. Of 21 for 32 points. He said it after the game was over when they destroyed the Lakers in overtime. He said the game plan was to attack Melo and put him in isolation. We were looking for the mismatch. We were trying to beat Melo in it. We're trying to get Melo in it and Reeves in it. I mean, it's really, they could just go at anyone. Melo was essentially playing the five. He was playing in the lane. What is this team? I mean, they could go at Melo. They could go at Monk. They could go at LeBron. They could go at Westbrook. I guess they tried to stay away from Stanley Johnson at times, but really.
Shut down Stanley.
It's Dwight Howard didn't play a minute in this game. You know, they didn't come out of camp with any sort of idea as to what this team was. And you watch them in the final minutes, and it's LeBron, you know, trying to get things going, and everybody kind of hanging around. And Westbrook, you know, did hit a jumper and did have a good game overall. But if you remember last year, like, again, they were starting Dennis Schroeder and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in the backcourt, and they had the number one defense. I just think that they just haven't mentally got on the same page. If you allow the Rockets to go 50-40-90, as geeks say, as far as the numbers go, they shot 50% from the floor, 40% from three, and 90 from the free throw line last night. They hit 52 of 102 shots. That just means you're not defending at all. I mean, this is coming down to the wire here, and they just... they're just not in games. They're just not ready to defend. And, you know, Russell Westbrook, as I said, solid game. Everybody wants to rip on him. He really did have a decent game. But as the game goes on, I mean, I think he gets a little gassed. He's missed a couple key layups towards the end of the game. And he's just not part of the game plan. Like, if LeBron is going to be the point guard in the last few minutes of a game and overtime, Russell Westbrook's best spot is the corner. To spread out the floor instead of just hovering in the lane to bring another defender into the lane. And sometimes he'll go to the corner, but it's just like they don't have a set game plan. Westbrook is just not, he's just not buying in. He's just, it's not, he doesn't like what they are. He doesn't like what his role is. You know, they need more of an Avery Bradley type who's on the bench most of the time and doesn't want to shoot. But if he's in the corner, at least the floor is spread for LeBron and for Anthony Davis when he comes back. So I think when Anthony Davis comes back, I don't think Westbrook will be closing games. I think it's just not a LeBron team. LeBron and Anthony Davis will control the ball. The other guys just got to get the heck out of the way. And right now, everybody's in each other's way. And they got destroyed by the Rockets in overtime. I mean, they couldn't defend a thing. Everything was wide open. Everything in the lane. Again, Melo is the five, and it's just not Melo's thing to be defending the pick and roll.
Jalen Green said it after the game. It was like, yeah, attack Melo. That was the game plan, and it worked.
Yep.
Even to the point where Melo at one point was like body checking Jalen Green, and didn't get called for it somehow, and didn't matter anyway. They just kept attacking him and scoring on him.
No, I mean, the thing is, LeBron, Melo, when these games, the longer they go on, they just look so old and so slow. LeBron's legs just don't have it. I know he had that incredible alley the other day against the Warriors, but in this game, he went up he could barely get off the ground and guys are just blocking him. He just doesn't have the power anymore like that in a long game. Mm-hmm. And the game waits for no one. These young guys are out there, like, you know what it's like when you play pickup and there's that young kid who just like never stops running. That's what it's like against the Lakers right now. Jalen Green is just like, yeah, they're saying, Melo, there's no way you can stay in touch with us. You know, physically, athletically, you haven't got the speed anymore. He's never been a great defender. So they're like, huh. And that's the sort of way that you kind of humiliate the old guys by saying, give me him, because there's nothing he can do to stop me. So, yeah, they put up 19 easy points in overtime, had three taken away from them as well. I mean, it's rare that you see the double-digit blowout in overtime, but this is what it was. And Westbrook the same. You know, he did have a good game, you know, and you don't want people to sort of just keep on, you know, his family's feeling the pressure right now, and understandably so, but this is just not a great role for him. Mm-hmm. And if you're Frank Vogel, if LeBron is your point guard, as Tass is sort of saying there, you may as well put Westbrook on the bench because he can't spread the floor. And LeBron, I mean, LeBron's just sort of swinging for the fences with his threes. He hit one last night of nine because he hasn't got that ability to just like blow past defenders anymore. So, you know, James Worthy said afterwards he thought it couldn't get lower, and it did. I think there's still some depth here for the Lakers.
That is the question. You see a lot of Lakers fans saying that. This isn't rock bottom.
Yeah.
The next game is rock bottom. And then the next game after that is actually rock bottom. I saw Dave Schilling, big Lakers fan, said this might have been the worst Lakers loss of his lifetime.
Wow.
I mean, Eric Gordon's brutal. Putting LeBron on skates. It's wild.
Yeah, James Worthy. This is from Bill Oram over at The Athletic. More James Worthy on the postgame show. James Worthy said, I think the Lakers are at a point now where they know they aren't going to meet those preseason title expectations. I think they realize they can't win. They don't feel like they can win. So those words were relayed to Carmelo Anthony, who said, I don't totally disagree with them. They're checked out, man.
Yeah. Is it a 1-2-3 Cancun sort of situation?
100% it is. LeBron, I thought, was super, super weird game in the fourth quarter and overtime. 2-for-10 in the fourth quarter. Had a layup. He had a layup. He could have shot on either side.
Yes.
At the end of the fourth quarter. He could have shot on the left-hand side. Would have got a foul call. Guaranteed. It's LeBron going up against Josh Christopher. Or he could have shot the little scoopty-whoopty reverse. Instead, he kicks it out to Melo, who missed the thing. And then in overtime.
And did you see that? Sorry to stop you. I think it was Melo, or maybe it was Westbrook. When they're walking back to the bench, you can see somebody saying, it appears to me like they're saying to LeBron,
shoot it.
I think he had a shot there, man. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You're a scorer.
Yeah. He's a passer.
Hey, you want to be called a scorer? Take a layup to win the game.
Yeah, that was weird.
Or take a shot in overtime. He took one in the first minute. He took one basically in the last minute when it was over. But he was in pass mode. He was like, you've stuck me with these players who have been literally cut from every single team and picked up off the waiver wire. Like, every guy you mentioned was out of the league at some point, basically. I'm just going to pass it to them. Let's see if they can win a game. Hmm. Obviously, they could not. Obviously, they couldn't do anything defensively, so I don't know. That fourth quarter and overtime from LeBron, I was just like, how can you watch this happening to your team? Mm. How can you watch the Rockets run it down your throat every single time and then just come up and dish it out to the wing?
Yeah.
To dish it to Westbrook to miss a shot.
Yeah, he had a nice little dish to Westbrook, like a layup inside, and he botched it, mm-hmm. and like it was a bad miss. And you could see LeBron's body like,
totally.
But that's been happening a lot.
Yeah,
this season.
I know.
And you know, he's just like, oh my god, I have to do everything. But he also doesn't track back, so then the Rockets just pound it down the other end.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's a disaster. Absolute disaster. And Anthony
it's a disaster,
Davis,
but it can get worse, you're saying.
Yeah, Anthony Davis isn't going to, like, all of a sudden turn this team around where the Suns or the Jazz or the Grizzlies are like, uh-oh, how do we stop this team? I don't see it at all. Whether they're full strength or not, there's no chance they get out of that first round.
Just quickly, as for the Rockets, Jalen Green, I saw you tweeting about his game. He is fun to watch, and he is having a nice little string here.
Yeah, he's the Anthony Edwards of this season, where he was so underwhelming in the first half of the season that his second half, when the team is completely out of things, you're not really paying attention. But man, the athleticism was incredible last night, and he had like actually harnessed it, not just like running around like a crazy guy. Yeah. He was like using his speed to take up space, to get into defenders' bodies, and then when he was wide open, it was money because he'd already gotten into such a good rhythm. He was great, and I thought Şengün was really good as well. I think he had a career high 21 last night. No fear. Like, he was going at LeBron or Melo every single time. You know, these are NBA legends. LeBron got the best of him sometimes, but Şengün got the best of him as well earlier in the game. So I thought seeing Green and Goon balling out together against a team like that was really nice. I don't know if that'll stick, but, you know, G&G Music Factory, that's not a thing.
It can be. Anything could be a thing. Yeah. We got to keep saying it.
Green and Goon.
I like Green and Goon. That's pretty good. Well, we had some weird losses last night. We had Randall and the Knicks winning again in Dallas, blowing out the Mavs 107-77. And then we had Cole Anthony and Gary Harris leading the Magic to a 108-102 win over the Pelicans. No Brandon Ingram in that game, and there's been an update. He's going to be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. Not good for them and their chances to try and get into that plan or stay on that plan. But what was the more surprising loss from those two, Trey? Was it the Mavs losing again to the Knicks, or was it the Pelicans losing to a Magic team that's obviously not that great?
Most surprising's got to be the Mavs, just because they've been one of the better teams in the league for the past couple of months, where the Knicks have obviously been the opposite. But like you're saying, apparently the Knicks just have the Mavericks' number in Dallas. Nonetheless, this was a beatdown, one of those games where first-half leads are very, very real. Knicks held the Mavs to 17 points in each of the first two quarters, took a 27-point lead into the half. The big stat in this one, in the first half, the Mavs missed their first 19 three-pointers. Mm. Finished 1-for-21 from three in the first half. Taj Gibson, though, 1-for-1 from three in the first half of that one. Dallas never made a run in the second half because they couldn't hit threes. 6-of-44 on the night, 13.6%. That's what happens sometimes if you're a three-point shooting team. Sometimes you're the good Bertons, and sometimes you're the bad Bertons. Yep. Last night, all of the Mavs were Bertons, but shout out to the Knicks. Just hilariously playing their best basketball of the season when they're almost completely out of things. But just a nice little bit of hope for some bing-bongs here. As for the Pelicans, the loss looks bad, but you mentioned it, Skates. Can't be that surprising when there's no Brandon Ingram in the lineup. Got this tweet from Burdensome417, who says the Pels are 2-14 without Ingram, 25-25 when he plays. Don't fail me again. I need it on the show. Pelicans fans, talk about Brandon Ingram or else.
Hey, man.
Bad news, though, for the Pelicans. Brandon Ingram underwent an MRI yesterday, a mild strain of his right hamstring. Will be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. Great win for the Magic, but it's tough for the Pelicans to win when they don't have Brandon Ingram. They're probably fine. They're probably still going to be a play-in team, so as long as he's back to beat the Lakers in that play-in game, they should be fine.
Yeah, they're probably okay because the Blazers have lost 6 straight games by 194 combined points. Though they're just one game out of the play-in tournament. Zach Lowe sharing that with everyone this morning. 194 combined points. So yeah, Pelicans, by default, are probably going to hold on to it. But that sucks, the Brandon Ingram. But same question that I asked Trey. What would you say was the more disappointing or surprising, I guess?
Definitely the Mavericks getting punked at home by the Knicks. And the Knicks fans weren't safe or weren't happy until that final buzzer. Worldwide Wob tweeting last night. He tweeted this out at halftime. When the score is a 27-point lead to the Knicks. The Knicks hold on. God pays you $10,000 in cash. The Knicks lose. God painfully incinerates you immediately following the buzzer. Are you playing? $10,000, like, that's not that much, is it? That just shows, like, he's not that confident. And then he also tweeted the Knicks bingo, how do they lose at this which is hilarious. So
they didn't.
They didn't. And,
the Hawks lost, and the Wizards lost last night. So they gained a game on all those teams. So, I mean, they're alive.
Let's go.
Yeah, so just crazy. I mean, if Doncic is on the floor, like, the Mavs should be favorite, especially against the Knicks. So they put up less than 20 points in three quarters, which is just unheard of in the NBA today.
Yeah, that's true. Anything to add to those surprising results?
It's great to give Brandon Ingram some love. What a wonderful player. He's awesome. He is their centerpiece, really, of that team. So that stat that at Burdensome 417.
That's right. That's right.
Wow, I can't believe I remembered that Twitter handle. That is great. He's their centerpiece, but they're not going to fall out of the Western Conference playoff picture because the Blazers are literally playing nobody. You know, Simons, Winslow, those guys are sitting. It's a fun roster to look at all those strange names that you've never seen before, even as NBA geeks.
Oh, yeah.
I love a Watford in my life.
Yeah, sure. Well, the Jazz dominated the Blazers for their 8th straight home victory. We had DeRozan, big fourth quarter. to help the Bulls snap the losing streak. Anything you want to add to that? They needed that one. And
that was a must-win game.
Yeah, and the Pistons put up a fight there for a couple quarters, for sure.
Yeah, they did. They were good through the first three quarters, and then red-ass Tristan Thompson got into the Bulls. And I think you can kind of see the way things went with Cade Cunningham's game. 22 points, 6 assists in the first three quarters, 0-0 in the fourth quarter. The Bulls finally focused and probably played their best defensive quarter since the All-Star break, I would say. And like you said, DeRozan was great.
Yeah.
Scored or assisted on the Bulls' first 8 in the final period. They pulled him out, got a quick sub, said, I would play 48 minutes if I needed to. He almost needed to against the Detroit Pistons. But DeRozan and LaVine scored 17 of the Bulls' last 19 in the last 6 minutes. Good stuff.
Closed it out there. Clippers rallied past the Wizards. A tough loss for Washington here as they're trying to get into the play-in tournament, I think at least, in the Eastern Conference. 115-109 for the Clips. Van Vliet and the Raptors delayed Greg Popovich's record in a win over the Spurs. They also helped me out this morning. There was a million games on. There was a Survivor premiere, which was 2 hours long. I didn't have time to make a thumbnail with Greg Popovich's face on a thumb. It was going to take too much time. So thank you to the Raptors for getting it done. And a lot of people tweeting last night, Tass, as a Raptors fan, just nice to have an adult back on the team in Van Vliet, who returned to the Raptors lineup. just a steady Freddy for a reason, man. Just makes that team so much better. So he helped out there. And then finally here, Beasley sets a T-Wolves three-point mark in the 132-102 win over OKC. Malik Beasley, 11 for 17 from deep to break teammate Anthony Edwards' team record of 10 that he set just in December.
Yeah.
And Beasley is, this guy has hit a lot of threes this year. He actually has Minnesota's single-season three-point record. He did it on Saturday. He beat, quick trivia.
Oh, no.
Who'd he beat?
Oh, no.
Who had the record for most threes made by a Timberwolves player in one season?
Sam Cassell?
Nope. You don't need to go...
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love. There you go. 190 made threes, but Beasley's got it now, and he's just adding to it. And the Wolves are on a 6-game win streak. Their longest since 2004.
Yeah.
It's a long, long time.
People are jacked for the Wolves. Are they as good as 2004?
I will say.
literally, that's what people are saying. Yeah. They were a 58-win team. They were a 58-win team in 2004. A number one seed. They went to the conference finals because they had KG. And they had that Sam Cassell. That was that team that went to the conference finals. Could have easily gone to the finals. They are not that good.
Right.
Come on.
Also, during this win streak, they've beaten OKC twice and the Blazers twice. But they are playing great, and they're hammering them. I mean, they're kicking the snot out of them.
And they're having a party at the end of the bench there because Beasley was going for Clay's record. He had 10 with about 7 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get him get him going, but he could. He only hit one more from there, but...
Then they took him out. He didn't play the final 5 minutes or something.
But it was pretty wild stuff there. But again, honestly, any wins for the Wolves right now are great because they've got to just solidify their spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem for the Wolves is that they've been playing really well, but unfortunately they're chasing Dallas and Denver, who are also playing really well, so they've been stuck in seven for such a long time, but a really great season. Somebody tweeted us recently that Timberwolves Reddit apparently does this like Warren Zevon Werewolves of London video where they're adding all kinds of crazy stuff to it, so I will make this pledge to you. If the Minnesota Timberwolves go to the conference finals like they did in 2004... I will sing and play Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London on guitar here in the Classic Factory.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. Conference finals.
Conference finals.
All right.
Don't have to win it. Just got to play a game.
Okay.
If they make it.
You like that song?
I like the song. I just don't think we're going to get it, though, unfortunately. give us semifinals. Give us getting us out of the first round.
First round.
All right.
That's fair. Yeah. They're going to be a lower seed. Yeah. They have to beat a tough team. Yeah. But it's like they could too, you know.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I think second round is their ceiling, max.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll see.
All right. Any other notes on any of the games from last night? There were a million of them. Anything else you wanted to touch on, gentlemen?
No thanks,
gentlemen. No. All right, let's take a break. Because we got something really weird after the break. We had a bunch of strange odds that you can apparently place on tonight's Nets Sixers game, I guess, in Philadelphia there with Ben Simmons returning. Like, I'm talking very weird.
Great.
Odd. So we'll have some fun with that right after the break.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, back in the Classic Factory. Shout out to the stream team for letting me know that Lee is rocking the Allen Iverson armband. I didn't even see it. It's just because where you're sitting with my angle on you there. But why did you decide to rock such
a thing? Well, we're supposed to be going to the game tonight. And I was going to wear this. I had my outfit already. Look, I'm not done. Look.
Wow. Got the AIs on.
So, you know, we're not going. We're not going, but I'm just, you know.
You're going mentally.
I'm just wearing the outfit that I'd be
now,
wearing.
Now, will you continue to wear that, like, while you watch the game tonight?
Probably.
Maybe a photo? Hey, Roxy, take a photo of me watching?
I don't know about that, but...
why not?
We'll see. We'll see, yeah.
It's a just big armband.
Yeah, yeah. I got this in New York City, 2002, when I picked up my first pair of Iversons. These are the ones I wore. I remember at the tennis I was telling you about. Yeah.
I remember.
The only thing is, it's lost a bit of its elasticity.
Oh,
over the years.
Yeah. Wow! You wear that as a headband.
Yeah, it's a little bit loose now. But you know what? I tried to look into buying a new one. These are impossible to get.
I was going
to
say you could probably get a pretty penny for that on eBay there.
Yeah, you could. I'm not going to sell it because it's a souvenir, but. It's great.
Excellent. Yeah, it is like it's almost like a survivor buff now. It's so stretched.
Exactly.
You can wear it around your neck. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets square off tonight for the first time since the blockbuster trade involving James Harden and Ben Simmons. Now, four of the five players, Harden, Millsap, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, they are in line to play in Philly tonight. But Ben Simmons, he will be relegated to a cheerleading role on the Brooklyn bench. And we have a bunch of hilarious, like, odds that I guess you can legit bet on that I want to throw at you guys. But the first one, I did see this, Tass, and I was thinking of you. Head coach Doc Rivers, he said he believes that the Sixers owe Ben Simmons a tribute video.
Damn right they do.
They owe him one. And you have been saying for the last couple of days that you do think one is happening tonight in Philadelphia. I'm not so sure, but I guess
Doc... Can you bet on that?
I mean, you can bet on everything. You should be able to. I don't have the odds on.
Yeah.
What would you set the line on that one?
It's a no, like minus 150. I'd lean no.
So, okay. Yeah.
Yes, you know,
yes
whatever,
is,
plus 200.
Yes is more unlikely, you would say, in regards to betting. Okay.
I would say so, yes.
Okay, well, how about...
I don't know what a tribute video entails, though. What's the definition of a tribute video?
Ooh, good point.
Here's Ben. I mean, anything,
you
I guess.
You need the words thank you. It has to be included.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. Thank
and
you,
I
Ben.
Need to see some clips of him.
Highlights only.
Highlights, yep.
Highlight, but what if it was just a shot of Ben's face?
No.
Everybody, Philadelphia, thank Ben Simmons no, for his stay.
That's not a tribute video.
Gotta have
that's just showing him
images.
On the. That's just showing him on the board and saying hello to him. Mm-hmm. No, I need to see highlights, preferably set to a, I don't know, some sort of Green Day song.
good riddance.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually.
And then you got to cut live to him and then have him wave or whatever.
I think it happens.
Can you bet?
That'd be
wave?
Crazy.
Well, okay, let's get into the actual things that you can bet on. So, this is amazing. Will Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid touch during the broadcast? Okay, note, has to happen during the broadcast, not including halftime and or commercial purposes.
So post-game, though, can...
Yeah.
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 Because he's not playing, Ben, I don't think we get the pre-game dap. Remember when Shaq and Kobe...
Yep.
They had to sort of do it because it was Christmas Day.
Because they're both out there. Yeah.
And that was tense. You know, Shaq didn't really look at him. I would expect something like that if he was playing. Him not playing, I think he's going to sort of come out late to the bench, maybe right at tip-off. And Bede's not going to run over there. Mm. He's not going to run onto the court.
But you say yes.
After
happens.
The game, I can sort of see maybe a little like, hey, man.
All right. So yes, minus 150, no yes. is plus 110.
So the line makers expect them to touch.
It sounds like it.
And I think what increases the likelihood of them touching is the fact that Ben played in Philadelphia for so long. Maybe he goes the wrong way. Maybe he goes to the wrong locker room at some point at halftime or something, runs into Joel, you know, on the baseline, for instance. It doesn't necessarily need to be a, hey, I'm going to come up to you and dap, but hey, oops, I'm in the wrong spot.
I actually think it's funny more likely the ball finds its way over to the Nets bench. Embiid is over there and then almost jokingly reaches out for like a quick little dap up. Like he just finds himself standing right beside him.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, he's doing it as a joke, but there is a touch. So wow. I'm voting yes as well.
If Simmons wanted to troll the Philly fans, he would do the mellow and pick the ball up and fake shoot it and then sort of sit back down. That would be hilarious.
Okay. Be good. Okay, so we're yes, yes, yes. Trade? Do they touch? That's literally what it says. Touch.
Do they touch? If you're including post-game, I imagine there will be a post-game touching
up.
Of
you
some.
You think so? Huh?
Bro-hug? Yeah, bro-hug honestly, though, if I'm looking at the values here, I'm betting no. Plus 110 on no. I can easily see Embiid ignoring Ben Simmons the way Shaq would to Kobe, and Simmons is not going to seek out Embiid.
Yeah,
it's
going
to have to be the other way around.
True.
But I do think Embiid loves the performative aspect of it, so there's going to be something that goes down. But it's also easy to see, like if Simmons comes out late, you know, they turn the lights down to do intros for the Philadelphia, so he sneaks in so nobody really sees him. The game has started. They just ignore each other. It could happen.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, sure. So following up from the touch question, if Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid touch, it will be, and then you can bet on the following. Okay. The favorite of what it will be is a fist bump. Classic.
Yeah.
7-4 odds. Just a handshake / hand slap. I love that. Okay. That's 2-1 odds. A handshake / hand slap. And a hug together. So, you know, what you've tried to do a million times with players and always fail. 5-2 odds. Just a hug.
just a hug.
No touching with the hands. Just come on in. 7-1 odds. A punch. 10-1.
A bro punch.
A bro punch. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, they're saying it gets physical here. They're pissed off with each other. A face slap, 12-1 odds.
That's the worst.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
That's the worst odds. Why would you
that
even
should
bet
be
that?
100-1
yeah,
odds.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Totally.
And then a butt slap.
Yeah, butt slap should be lower.
25-1 odds.
Butt slap should be 10-1.
Right, yeah, they got these wrong?
Yeah.
A face slap, like, I guess you could look at a face slap. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously, you, son of a, and slap him, like you're a wrestler, but maybe you would have been like a
Corleone face slap.
My boy, my boy.
It's good. I knew this was Ben.
Ben Simmons, right, he had like $19 million withheld from him, he should go and go bet heavy on the butt slap, win that money back. That way he could say, yeah, the butt slap, let's make it 100 to 1. I'm going to put $1 million.
And then he goes
then
up.
He just goes out and slaps away. Then he gets his money back.
But, slap away, boys.
No, I think the fist bump is fair enough. It's the odds on favorite there. I think that's what you're going to get.
You don't think we get a hug?
I don't think a hug, no. I think a... just a sort of a non-eye contactual sort of like, you know, just let's just do it.
I love this. I'm glad we're doing this.
Eye contactual.
Eye contactual.
That's good. I'm betting on handshake / hand slap and hug together.
Okay.
They're going for the full boat.
Yeah, the bro hug.
Full bro hug. Yeah.
It's actually like if you go in for the handshake, hand slap, a hug makes it less awkward, I would say, because you don't have to look at each other as much.
Huh.
So I think if they do go for a handshake, hand slap, then you don't have to be eye contactual. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't.
You go for the handshake, then you just get this thing over with. Like, it's less personal.
You can, like, make a point of looking over the other one's shoulder to see who else is out there that you want to say hi to.
Yeah, it's true. Less. Yeah, so I do love the idea, though, of betting on the butt slap. Great idea. but let's say Joel Embiid goes in for a hug instead, and Ben Simmons has to, like, backpedal and say, don't hug me, and go in for the butt slap and run behind him and give him a butt slap. Wild.
I was going to say, can you parlay these together? Can I go hand slap into a hug with a butt slap and then maybe a little playful punch at the end?
Oh, Cam Stewart over here.
I'll be the Cam Stewart here. I'll be the Brian Blessing here and say usually the betting lines usually put a max on these because of shenanigans. It's like $500. But you can bet some five smacks.
Okay, well, I'm not done, believe it or not. I got another one. This one I actually like. Will TNT mention Ben Simmons free throw shooting during the broadcast? Okay. Yes, gets you -140. No, +100.
I think you got good odds with the no on this
one.
I think it's way more likely they don't mention the free throw
shooting. Really?
He's not playing. When would free throw shooting come up?
Anytime they shoot free throws and then they show Ben Simmons. Well, luckily he's not out there for the Nets. Yeah, you know, would they do? Like, come on. You don't think hack of Ben Simmons is going to come up even though he's not playing?
No.
Really? Wow, I do.
I don't think it's come up on any game that he's played, or that he's been sitting there. I know they're playing the Sixers, but what is the context? I don't get it. That doesn't really make sense to me. He's not playing.
I just think the Boo Birds are, of course, going to be out. The broadcast starts talking about, oh, man, you imagine he was playing. Would Doc go for the hack of Ben? You know, anything like that.
Yeah, too speculative, though, for him to be not playing. If he was playing, then I think early will they do
so
it.
You guys are saying no. You're getting some good odds. Yeah.
I don't think it's part of the game. I don't think TNT's Brian Anderson, Stan Van Gundy, or whoever's doing it. I mean, maybe if you're...
What else are they going to talk about for the whole game? They're going to be showing Ben Simmons a million times on this broadcast.
They're not going to talk about his lack of free throw shooting.
What would they be saying?
Hey, I watched him practicing his free throw shooting the last 6 months.
Yes, they might have, who knows, they might have footage of him hitting free throws.
Warm up free throws if he shoots well.
No, he's not doing that.
It's a tough one. Stay away from this one. This is a tough one to call.
I hope we get that like grainy 8 in a row from the free throw. Well, he's obviously been working on his free throws. Yeah, I don't think so. I'll take the no on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it was,
is it SVG on the call?
I don't know. Right? I don't know. But I just,
he would talk hackers.
You think he would bring it up as strategy? Maybe. Like if it was two Philly radio guys on the call, of course they're talking about everything negative. But I think, you know, I bring up Van Gundy and Anderson because they're national TV guys.
Yep.
They're not getting dirty here. Although, I've seen Stan Van Gundy shoot free throws. Great form.
Like, great handles.
Great handles.
Yeah.
If he brings up and says, Ben Simmons should be trying to work on his game, practice free throws. Here's footage of me practicing my free throws, and they roll in Stan Van Gundy. That's the only way I see them linking the two, which is, I know, it's good odds. +100, take it.
Ooh, I think yes. I'm betting yes on this. They got a long game, and again, there's going to be a lot of talk about Ben Simmons. There are free throws that happen in the game.
That's true.
It's going to be sad. What do you got?
Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller, Stephanie Ready on the court.
Oh, Reggie.
Yeah.
Reggie's for sure saying it. Absolutely.
I mean, that's
Stan Van Gundy, I'm with you. Less likely. Reggie, yes.
There's going to be a lot of free throws, too.
Yeah.
Hardman made.
So you got the Stars back for the Nets. Oh, this one's tough, man.
I still don't get it. Embiid's banging home a free throw. They go, That guy can hit free throws. You know who can't? That guy on the sideline.
Well, how do you know? How do you know the Sixers crowd isn't chanting something about Ben Simmons during a free throw? And like, then it's, you know, they're doing this while he's on the bench? Imagine this guy was playing. Like, that's the obvious
at the free throw line?
Well, I mean.
It's not Ben Simmons' Ben Simmons free throw shooting during the broadcast. Yeah. This is, I don't see it.
Okay. Will the Ben Simmons passed up a dunk highlight versus the Hawks be shown during the broadcast? Yes, -150. No, +110.
Yeah, for it to be shown, but this I can see being brought up.
Okay, you don't think they would show it then? Come on, what height's he doing in the truck, man? Yeah, he's got it ready to go.
It's a little defamatory and irrelevant to tonight's game, I think.
Okay, yeah, this is crazy. They're doing all of this.
This one's a lock. This one is a lock yes to me.
This is drama,
they're gonna
man.
Show this multiple times.
I don't think so. Because he's not playing. If he was playing, yes. But I think with him sitting on the side, it's just not going to help him if it's like, hey, on TV, they keep showing you missing that dunk.
They have to show. They have to look at it like someone's watching this game for the first time ever. They don't even know what basketball is. Like, why are they booing this guy? Let's tell you why. This is a part of the
story.
They
might tell it. I just don't think they're going to show it myself.
Mm. I think the only technicality is what I'm trying to say. Here is like, when is it shown? Is it shown prior to the tip? Probably, if it is to be. And then does that count? Probably not here in the actual bet.
So. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's a weird one.
Here from these odds that we got from our friend Jimmy Shapiro, there isn't that that caveat.
Oh, so it
maybe. The caveat being, in the prior one, they were talking about the free throw shooting during broadcast.
Yeah.
The note was anytime from tip-off to the end of the game, but that's not here because that's interesting. Because it definitely pregame. I think I could see them saying it pregame. Yeah, they're sitting there sideline, Reggie, Harlan. And was it Harlow on the sideline? Stephanie Reddy. I mean, she could be doing the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to tell the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the odds are better for yes. I mean, it's more likely that this is going to happen than free throws, according to the betting. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I like this one, yeah.
Trey, you're on board that they're going to show this highlight.
Oh, I think we're going to see it multiple times per half.
Wow.
We're going to see it a lot. I mean, this is a huge story. There's only two games on tonight. This is Ben Simmons' first time back in Philadelphia.
But he's not playing, though. That's why
they're going to show
it.
No, I don't think so.
What else are they going to show of him?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the number one thing that they would show.
Are they going to show it on the Jumbotron?
No.
I guess they're going to show it during the TNT pregame as well.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Pregame. Yes.
So that doesn't classify for the bet,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah. Okay. Final one. How many times, and it just says here, not full name, Simmons is said during the broadcast. So I guess you don't technically need Ben Simmons.
Don't need Ben.
Though he's such a two-name guy, too. It's weird to call him just Simmons to me. But the over-under is set at 6.5.
Smash the over.
Smash the over, says this guy. Okay,
yeah.
Simmons will be said at least 7 times during the game.
I agree. Smash.
Okay. Oh, Reggie Miller might say it 7 times in like 5 minutes.
I would maybe go over if it was 16.5.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, 6.5 is a sentence.
Yeah. I'm hitting the over on this. Especially now that I know Reggie's on the call.
Yeah. Once you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm locking in.
Yeah. They'll even mention the chants in the stands. They're chanting for Ben Simmons. I mean, that's one. I mean, they're going to chant, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Back in the building for the first time since the trade. Ben Simmons on the bench. Yeah, well, last time we saw Ben Simmons was in the game.
Yeah, totally, man.
Imagine he was out there shooting free throws. Oh, I cannot imagine that. Hey, let's show you this highlight. Heitzy, play it. Oh, there's Ben Simmons passing up a dunk. Hey, he's already up to 4. Look, we're having some fun with this. I just hope nobody crosses any sort of line tonight in terms of, like, the fans in attendance. Hey, boo them all you want. Like,
yeah, boo them all you want.
But, you know, we just don't get any crazies, like, trying to get close to them.
The game's
obviously
where,
you can
sorry?
Cross the line. Where's the game? Somebody? Where's the game?
Yeah.
It's in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll be okay, you think? You can't bet on whether a battery is thrown tonight.
When you went to your first Vince Carter game in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just, you know, talk us through
it. Oh, yeah, it was...
Did you cross any lines?
Well, did I personally cross any lines?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
You don't.
I mean, I was up in the nosebleed, so it's not really a big deal.
No, but that's the thing. You got to get the Sixers have got to get this booze out of their system tonight. All right, great.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't. Great. Hey, look, I'm betting on they'll boo him tonight. Okay.
Tell me if this is crossing the line. I yelled this at Vince after he kicked the Raptors' ass. I yelled, "You'll never win anything, Vince!" It's not crossing the line.
Definitely not.
No, no, it's fine. No,
anything,
that's fine.
That's the line. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the line.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Perfect. You're going into any personal details or anything like that. It's just like, but how many times did Vince, hit the game winner?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
He had the dunk. Remember the alley-oop dunk in overtime as well? He was great. So remember when Pat Riley went back to New York the first time? When he joined the Heat, and he came out and he was like, "Come on, bring it on to the crowd." Do you think Simmons decides to go full heel tonight and be like,
"I mean,
it'd be nice,
it'd be awesome."
Yeah, I know,
but I don't think
I don't see it either.
It would be great.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he does a sort of like, "Yeah, all right," like an acknowledgement. I don't think he's going to be like, "Come on."
Yeah. I don't either. No, probably not. Okay, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So one of only two games on tonight. It's the big one on TNT. It's going to be one hell of a story. Just a guy sitting there on the bench. And then the actual game. I mean, look.
Yeah, there's a game.
There's some firepower in this game, too. Do I have it right? Durant and Kyrie are playing in Philadelphia tonight?
Supposed to be.
That's good to know. And obviously Embiid and the rest of his squad on the Sixers there. Can't wait. We'll get to the actual pick for that game. When we get to pick them, we got to take one more break. We got Tweet of the Night as well. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, back with the boys here. It's time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
TK, what do you got?
Bit of a what you got here for Tweet of the Night comes to us from Sean Yu, along with a clip from his S-Tiers podcast alongside Zach Schwartz. Sean tweets, "So Zach asked a great question earlier today. Would you rather smoke weed with Don Nelson or drink wine with Greg Popovich?"
Wow.
Now, look, my choice here is obvious.
Yeah.
Smoke weed every day in Hawaii while wearing fish ties. Come on, it's the perfect. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts, and I'm going to throw in a couple of extra choices because you can usually put four things on a poll, which we're going to have up here in the stream team. So would you rather smoke weed with Don Nelson,
okay,
drink wine with Greg Popovich, do peyote with Phil Jackson, or smoke a fat stogie with Red Auerbach? Get your votes in.
Go ahead if you want to get us started here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go through the process of elimination because a cigar is always fun at the time, but it just, like, you feel like ass the next morning. it's gross, but it's cool. And it's like, yeah, I want to be here with Red having a big old fat cigar.
Okay.
So, no.
Okay.
Phil Jackson, that's cool, smoking so no. peyote. I don't really know what that entails, to be honest.
You're
sure.
You're going to go on a journey.
Could also
into the unknown.
So, it comes down to the other two. Now, Don Nelson, I think Ethan Strauss actually did do this.
That's a great article.
And smoked with him. I can't remember what he said about it, actually, but... that would, it's a tough one, but I think I'm going Popovich. I just think I'd love to sit down with him over a couple of glasses of red and just talk and laugh and joke, because when Pop is away from being the Pop that we see on the sidelines and on TV, I think he's a lot more entertaining, a lot more engaging, and, he would have some hilarious stories, I'm sure. I mean, Don Nelson would have some incredible stories as well, but I think Don Nelson could get a little... sort of off with the fairies a little bit.
I think I saw the clip of Sean and Zach talking about this. Sean was making some good points, like, how many glasses of wine do you have to get into Pop where then he's opening up and he's maybe telling you all the stories you want to hear? Don Nelson, you're smoking weed with him in Hawaii especially, like, he's off and running, I'm sure, right away, like, before you've even lit the thing, like, you're hearing great stories. So that's maybe an advantage for Don Nelson. But Sean also pointed out Popovich is known for his, like, extensive wine collection. You might be getting into some good bottles. Yeah. Do you like wine?
Yeah.
You like wine? Yeah. Well, only when JD orders.
Oh, that's right.
Restaurant.
Yeah. But see, it's the company.
That's a plus for that's a plus for pop, I'd say. Not that Don Nelson has shitty weed, but
doesn't he have his own strain?
Yeah, it's true. But I just think, you know, pop's probably got very, very fine taste in wine. Yeah. You're gonna get some good bottles, I think. So I'm just making a case for
it. Pop and JD are actually quite similar. You know, they've got that sort of grumpiness. But once you get JD away from the show,
you get a couple reds in him.
Ah, then he opens up, and you know, he's a lot more entertaining. So I think I'm going pop. I'm thinking.
Are you not entertained?
No, sounds like he's not.
This is you like a pop after the at the in between quarter interviews. You know, you're grumpy. You don't want to have to do this. Let's just get through the show, but. Once the show's done and there's a bottle of wine there, then JD's like a little bit more at ease.
Yeah,
so.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So what are you going with here of those four that Trey's thrown out?
Psychedelics are so hot right now. I'm doing it with Phil, I think. And I think...
you're on a ranch. Vision Montana, Quest. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's... It's just the best of both worlds. I don't need to drink more wine. I don't care if this is a vintage 1904. I don't care. The Don Nelson experience would be great. The Ethan Strauss article on that, phenomenal. So that makes sense. The Stogie thing, that would be cool too. I think all four men, the experience is, that would be great. I think they would all open. I mean, they'd all open up immediately. But I think the experience of the psychedelics, I'm rolling with that. And I don't think we're going too hard as well because he's a 76-year-old man. He knows where he's going. You know how much to. You know, we're microdosing, I think, at first. And then, we'll have a good time.
I'm just afraid you're going to do it with Phil Jackson and then you're not going to remember a single thing. And you may not even be really talking to Phil Jackson once you're on the peyote. That's my only knock on that one.
That's it.
JD, let's hear from you. You're drinking with Greg Popovich, smoking weed with Don Nelson, peyote with Phil Jackson, or smoking a cigar with Red?
Yeah, I'm with Lee. It's Pops for sure.
Okay.
I think that he would... I don't think that it would take... any time for him to relax because, you know, I imagine it's in his sort of wine room or whatever. He's already relaxed. He's wearing his smoking jacket or whatever. And the ritual of opening the bottle of wine and smelling it and swirling it. He's in his elements.
He's in his element.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and he seems like a softy at heart and a smart guy. You know, he seems like a good guy to argue with. I love an argument.
Ooh.
I love debating. I love just playing devil's advocate and just getting under people's skin. So I would enjoy that with Pops, I think.
So you're suddenly talking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer and the promise of it. Mm. Okay. Well, so do we have that poll up?
Yep.
On the stream team? All right. Get your votes in, everybody.
Yeah. Right now we got 45% want to.
Don Nelson.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich.
Interesting.
Actually. 44 for Greg, 27 for Don, 22 for Phil, and only 7% smoke a cigar with Red Auerbach. He's old.
He's also he's also a ghost.
He's a ghost, man. He's a straight up ghost, man.
Pick 'em results last night. Raptors, Spurs.
That should have more votes then.
Yeah. Smoke a cigar with a ghost. Put it that way. Sorry, cool.
All right, we're changing it.
Raps, Spurs, Toronto favored by 1.5 on the road. And as we talked about, prevented Greg Popovich from setting the all-time record in wins. This brought to you by BetMGM. So that's a victory for me. That's a victory for Tass, a victory for Trey. Lee swerved, took Pop. You fall to suddenly last place.
Yeah.
In the pick'em battle here, you're 2-5, Trey 3-4, I'm 4-3, and Tass is 5-2, so it's very, very close still. But what's tonight's game?
Well, there's a game in Philadelphia.
Oh, yes, that's
should
right.
be a fun one. The Philadelphia 76ers are favored by 4.5 over the Brooklyn Nets, and surprisingly, we're Splitsville on this one.
Mm.
I thought most of us would be on the Sixers, but myself and Lee taking the Nets. Why do you think the Nets are going to cover 4 points, Lee?
Yeah, I went back and forth a bit on this one. I can sort of see a Sixers massive blowout.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, Kevin Durant's got some beef there with Embiid. Kyrie, again, he's came off a great performance. And him and James Harden, there's going to be a bit of beef there. So I'm hoping that the Nets can keep it close enough. But I think the Sixers win the game.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah,
you
I think
the
they
Nets
will.
Covering.
I think, give me 4 points. I think it's less than that. But who knows? I can't pick my nose right now. So who knows how it's going to go?
That's good. I like that. And Trey, any reasoning why you're taking Philly?
I just think they're better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've been playing incredibly well. They've got a better, deeper team, and I think it's going to mean a lot to Philly to rub it in Brooklyn's faces.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be fun to see how the Brooklyn Nets players playing take this one to heart, though, like for their new teammate in Ben Simmons, trying to shut up the crowd.
Yeah, of course.
You know, if they come out and smack him in the first quarter, that takes a lot of the steam out of the booing Ben Simmons sort of train.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant, I mean, that's the thing. He would love this atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the villain, him and Joel. He can go out and put up 45 for his team,
for
maybe.
Sure. So, for
who
sure.
knows?
Hopefully Harden also left them as well, so that's a motivator.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true, yeah. And Steve Nash said they had some interesting comments about that, right? Like, whether they would butt slap each other.
He was asked if whether Nash would talk to Harden.
Yeah.
He said, I don't think I'm going to talk to him.
No.
He left him.
Yeah, cool. All right, guys, we'll call it there. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And, look out for Lee Ellis's Instagram and Twitter account tonight when Roxy takes a photo of him wearing his Iversons and his AI wristband watching the game. Oh, yeah.
Did you think about turning it the other way so you can read it, or is that because you want to read it?
It's like a watch.
He wore it this way, but he actually had it on his left arm because he had his sleeve on that one, so he couldn't see it. And I thought, I can't put it on that one. No one will see it.
Smart, man. Smart. All right, guys. If you are a Survivor fan and you watched last night's two-hour premiere, join Trey, JD, and myself a little bit later today over on our No Buffs YouTube feed, and we'll flip that into a podcast on Apple and Spotify, but it's its own separate feed. No Buffs Survivor 42, breaking down last night's premiere episode, which you said you watched, by the way.
I watched it,
so
yeah,
that
it's
means
back,
you'll be
baby.
You'll be listening or at least watching our show on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to you guys
awesome.
Breaking it down.
Yeah, we're gonna have a blast.
A lot of stuff happened.
There was a lot of stuff.
Chock full.
Especially with so many games on, I'm a little tired right now. I need some of that energy.
Oh, the new Starbucks Baya energy drink?
Yeah. Let's get some.
It's available in gas stations.
So, yeah, we'll have that show coming to you around 1:30 p.m. Eastern live over on the No Buffs YouTube account. Till then, Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, a lot of great comments from the stream team here talking about whether they would rather smoke a cigar with Red Auerbach or smoke a cigar with a ghost. Most people picked ghost over living Red Auerbach. Weird. A lot of people picked making gravy with Lee Ellis or smashing nanas with Lee Ellis.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We could make that happen.
What, making gravy on the show?
Well, just like we could raise a bunch of money for charity and the highest bid gets to make gravy with you.
Gravy soup. Yeah. That's what it was. It was a gravy soup.
Yeah. All right. Brace the day, people.